It does, as a theory.
There is no experience. There is no experience, just one life, and extraterrestrial existence, and then the soul will evolve and never come back to Earth.
One man must die and come back and say, look, I was talking to you, remember Gandhi? I'll come back to tell you it is like this, I've seen it. When somebody comes like this and tells you this, then it is not a theory. But today, everybody talks, and nobody confirms.
But if that is the case, it's extraterrestrial, then where is the question of these different 100 lives? It's each time developing further and further.
That is, as I said, one theory trying to contradict another theory. And we shall go later into these theories, because unless we practice and evolve up to a point and experience for ourselves, there will be no end to these talks. You get that?
One way or another, it's relevant whether there's reincarnation or not.
But they are theories. It's not proved as a theorem in geometry or science. You see? QED. No. That is why all religions are known as faiths. And that is why we believe every religion on faith. Because so and so said so. See? And we usually put somebody on a pedestal, whether it be Christ or Zarathustra or Ram or Krishna or anybody or Buddha, he said so. You'll be surprised. That whatever Buddha, Ram, Krishna, Christ said, we have not read today. Because it has been manipulated hundreds of times, what he said originally. So what is said in the name of these gentlemen is not what that gentleman ever said. You see? That is the big drawback of all our shastras. For ages, not only in the East but also in the West, a common man and woman was not supposed to read the Gospel or the Shastras. Everything was told, and whatever was told by the priest class had some motives, and that is how all these faiths have spread. Patanjali Yoga Sutra is one place where we don't talk philosophy, where we don't talk about faiths. Here, all the time, Patanjali says, the proof of the pudding is in eating it. Do this, and find out whether you get this as the result. Too easy. That's how Patanjali works. It is one place where there is no philosophy. The most beautiful book, Gita, is philosophy. It's wonderful to read that book, that small book, but it is philosophy. Patanjali means practices. If you don't practice, you are not following Patanjali. You understand this? So this is what. Hence, the intense desire to live and enjoy on this planet is held in greater preference to even a supposed heaven elsewhere. This has now become a part of the structure of acceptance for all life. Being self-perpetuating, it has become our sanskar or roots, which sayings are known even to the very wise, however much one may pretend otherwise. Life is opposite of death. Death is feared because of uncertainty. We know not where we would go or what would happen to us. Awareness not being continuous from one life to another, hence this attachment to present life and to being here. Philosophy and religion do not help here. The best way out is to instruct people on how to raise the individual level of awareness till it reaches a point where awareness is not broken either in sleep or in death. You know, this is the important state as to where we have to reach. By definition, the human being is mortal. Mortal in the sense that his awareness leaves it. Not because he dies. His awareness leaves it. At night when we go to bed, our awareness leaves us till we get up in the morning. But since the gap has been small, we remember having gone to bed in the night and getting up in the morning. This gap, when it becomes sufficiently large, we forget how I went to bed in my last life, how I am getting up this morning in this life, you know. That is because awareness is broken. And because the awareness is broken for a sufficiently long time, I am not aware as to when and where I laid down my last body and took up this body, you know. If that were not the case, I would not be mortal. I would be immortal. God is supposed to be immortal because at no stage, not for a fraction of a moment, He is free from consciousness. Whilst we are always in this agony of not remembering. This makes us mortal. And Yoga Sutra and the Shastras put emphasis on the practices that teach you A. how not to lose your awareness in sleep, and B. how not to lose your awareness at the time of death. If these two are possible, the third is possible, not to lose your awareness when you are born again. This is the subject of yoga. Not to lose your awareness at these three important junctions. Till such time you lose your awareness at these three points, you have achieved nothing. And the whole purpose of Yoga Sutra is not only to tell you, but prepare you to be conscious at these three junctions. A. In sleep. That is the first practice, to be conscious in sleep. Then, conscious at the moment of death. See, to carry over that consciousness to a point of next birth. If these three can be maintained, you have become immortal. That is the purpose here of the Yoga Sutras. There is no other philosophy. Yoga Sutras do not talk about heaven or hell. Yoga Sutras will not tell you anything as to how not to do this. You are only taught how to do this. And if you do this, what do you expect to receive in return for your practices? That is all that is stated in Yoga Sutra. If you have read about any other philosophy, well, that will be your knowledge. Here, whatever you will do will be your experience. And one day when you will weigh your ounce of experience against your tons of theories, this ounce will go down in weight, because it is your true knowledge. The rest is humbug. That is what is here. Philosophy and religion do not help here. The best way out is to instruct people on how to raise the individual level of awareness till it reaches a point where awareness is not broken, either in sleep or in death. If awareness is continuous, and this is the purpose of Yoga Sutra, if we are aware as to what happens to us between death in this life and thereafter, we will drop this fear of death and our clinging to life. We will also not quarrel in the name of religion when we shall experience firsthand the truth of life and death. Why are even the wise subjected to this fear? Because they appear wise to philosophy but lack actual experience. Experience is the great teacher, and a high level of awareness makes for experience of a richer kind, which is to be experienced instead of arguing about. These five hindrances, when subtly known, can be overcome by an opposite mental attitude. On page 217 are given the five hindrances. These are difficulty producing hindrances: avidya, sense of personality, desire, hate, and a sense of attachment. And here on page 210 it says, these five hindrances, when subtly known, can be overcome by an opposing mental attitude. To know the five hindrances subtly is normally not possible. These are hindrances and hence afflictions that give pain. These seeds, unless burnt up, will not let an individual live in peace. Now, some scientists, some time back, carried out an experiment. He took a quantity of water, put some chemical in it, and then, on the theory of dilution, he diluted one part to 1,000 parts by adding water, and he repeated that a few hundred times. When, according to scientific theory, there could be no chemical in that water, by a certain test it proved that it was there. Similarly, whatever we gather as memory in this life, the chemical of our life is memory. Then we say 100,000 lives more. Every following life will add memory to our present life memory and will dilute it. After 100,000 births, the memory of this life is so sufficiently diluted as to be not there. And yet, if a certain incident were to happen, the memory of this life will spring up. So, dilution is not the solution. Dilution is not the solution. Seeds are to be burnt so that they will not grow. You can't put them in a cupboard and keep it for 5,000 years and say, now it is sufficiently dry. You put it in the soil and it will grow. So here we are talking about our roots, about our sanskar, that though they are diluted life after life, no, dilution does not help. You have to do something, practice something to burn that. If the sanskar is not burnt away, it will sprout in some life. That is what we are told here about the hindrances. These seeds, unless burnt up, will not let an individual live in peace.